on Friday, when spring break started, I would go to whatever city he was going to be in and look for and set up an apartment. I had a Chevy Astro van and I had it set up. I knew exactly what size boxes fit in there. And those boxes were also, once you emptied them, you put a sheet over them and those were your end tables.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Married to the Game. You guys know the drill. I'm your host, Maria Martin. All right, we learned a lot from Katherine Rigg, didn't we? But I gotta say, what struck me the most was her grace and her just positive outlook on pretty much everything. She had so many great stories to tell and honestly was just such a joy to talk to. But my next guest has over four decades worth of stories, and her husband is entering his sixth year as the manager for the Braves. Ronnie Snicker at the plate. She's the wife of all-around good dude Brian Snicker, and obviously, just talked about it, he's the manager for the Braves. Ronnie is one of the most down-to-earth, hilarious, and genuine people I seriously have ever talked to. Buckle up, this is a great episode. Here is Ronnie Snicker, and this is Married to the Game. First of all, beautiful Christmas tree. I decided to put it up in my kitchen, which don't ask me why I did that. I guess because the middle of the day, this is my best lighting. So
this is our, that's our, just our regular Christmas tree. So you'll see that there are lots of handmade stuff from our kids over the years.
Yeah, I can see, I mean, you don't have to pick up the iPad or anything, but I can see a couple of people back there too. Do you have, are those the twin boys?
That's the twins there.
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
And then we have a tree in Brian's office that's a baseball tree. It's all over the years, we would get, people would give us decorations, you know, and they'd be like baseball themed or whatever. And then we would usually get whatever team we were with that year, we'd get something. It's not always a Christmas ornament, but it might have been like something I cut out of the program. You know, like some kind of little thing.
Oh, cool.
Or I have like the keychains from the minor league cities. You know, they sometimes give those on giveaways. So all of that is on the baseball tree.
That's a cool way to like incorporate everything, putting it on the tree.
Just things got too crowded here. Another thing that we put on there, it's kind of our sports tree because you know how kids get those buttons, you get those buttons when your kids play Little League, mom buttons or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with them? I don't know what you
do.
I don't know what everybody else did with them. People say, oh, they're laying in our drawers or whatever. But I put hooks on them and I put those on the Christmas tree. So you can see, you know,
that's
the
amazing
years of stuff.
Oh, I so, love that. And you brought up a good point because you guys do have a lot of years in baseball. Yeah. I mean, Brian is a baseball lifer. He has been with the Braves organization for over four decades. Do you feel like it's been that long?
No, it's hard to remember all those days.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to remember all of it because it was such a blur of things, you know. So
when did you guys meet?
Well, we met, he was, had just finished playing. And he was, I heard him say this week, he didn't really interview. Hank Aaron released him and gave him a job coaching. And so the first thing he did was went to instructional league. And he was, they were kind of grooming him, I guess, to coach or manage. And I was teaching school, I'm a speech therapist.
Awesome.
And I was teaching school in Bradenton, Florida. And a friend of mine said that she was dating a guy and he was a baseball player and he had a really nice roommate. And I said, she said, you should meet him. And I said, no. First she said, he's a really nice guy, you should meet him. And I said, no, I'm not really into that right now. And then she said he was
not into nice guys.
Well, I just wasn't into dating anybody right then. I had just gotten to Florida and, you know, I was thinking about hanging out on the beach and,
sure,
you know, meeting blonde haired guys and, you know, and, but anyway, so she said, she was telling me about, she kept telling me he was such a nice guy. And then she told me he was a baseball player. And I said, oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no.
No.
Not for
no.
me.
I'm not interested at all in that, you know, and, but she kept on me and kept on me. And then one day she picked me up and said, come on, we're going. They have dinner for us. And
so she had to force you into it. Otherwise you weren't going to go.
Yeah.
Smart.
So we went down and that's how I met him, on that kind of a blind date, I guess. And then, you know, after that we dated a little bit, and then instructional league was over and he went on, and then we talked a little bit, and then met back up in January, and you know, he went on to spring training, and we kind of kept in touch. And he was in, they ended up giving him a managing job that year, and it was in Anderson, South Carolina.
Wow.
So he was the youngest manager in professional baseball at that point in time.
Wow.
He was only 26. Some of his players were, you know, 18, so they weren't that much younger.
That is crazy. So
yeah.
you've really been there since the beginning. So how did that work in the beginning? Because you said you were in Florida. When did you make the transition to start to be full in on the baseball life?
You know, it's kind of at the time, and I think not so much now, but at the time, a lot of baseball players dated teachers because they had summers off.
Makes sense.
So I went up there to Anderson to see what that was like. And I was kind of like, oh, okay.
<laughs> All right.
You know, and then in the off season, he came back to Florida because he was doing instructional league. And so then eventually, let's see, that was in, I met him in 81. And then in, I think it was November of 80, wait, no, it was spring training of 82. We got engaged.
Okay.
And then, and he went from there to Durham. And when I finished school, you know, on spring break or whatever, I went up to Durham to visit him. And then in the summer I went up and, you know, just started kind of checking out. My parents were like, you better go and see what this is like, because this might be a crazy life.
True.
I don't think they had any idea.
I don't think you did either, probably, right?
No.
I mean,
no.
Nobody does until you're in it, and then you're like, wait, it's too late.
And then every situation
sure.
was different. It wasn't like it was going to be what you did for the rest of your life. I mean, I have girlfriends who, you know, cook dinner at 5 o'clock every night. But
not
I couldn't
you.
Have done any of that.
I
couldn't have
not.
Been. So the changing was good, you know.
I had no idea that you did that, that you guys didn't live in the same place. And actually, it's really nice to hear, because just a little backstory about me. My fiance lives in Valdosta right now. And when I got the opportunity to work in Atlanta, it was really a no-brainer. I was moving from a really small place in Montgomery, a very, very small television market. So to make this jump was a no-brainer for my career. And he's always been incredibly supportive of me, which is great. So we make it work. And how we do, I have no idea, because we both work crazy schedules and everything's all over the place. So it's nice to hear that it can happen, that you guys made it work.
And every year, like I said, it was different, because you were going to a different city or whatever. It was a little bit strange too, because, you know, up until, I think it was last year, Brian had only had 1 2-year contract.
Yeah.
So every year when September came around, you didn't know if you had a job, you know? And so that was kind of a little bit crazy. But he, in 1985, Eddie Haas became the manager of the Braves and asked Brian to be his coach. So Brian said, I think we need to move closer, somewhere more more centralized, because, you know, it was like Durham and Anderson and, you know, the minor leagues were kind of close around Atlanta, not close to Bradenton.
Sure.
And we got married in 83. Then in 80, at the end of 84, you know, we decided that we better move up here. I came kicking and screaming, because I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, and wow.
When I graduated from college, I applied everywhere warm. That was my only I don't like the cold. I didn't really like the big city. And I thought he was bringing me into, you know, the big city that was cold again. And, you know, and I didn't want to come. But of course, when I got here and I realized there's four seasons and there's so much, I loved it so much better than
really
Florida.
Hot.
Where there, and I just got, you know, there was, in Florida, it was the opposite of Pittsburgh. There was never any cold. There was never, you know, they just didn't have any seasons. You know?
Oh, never. I'm from Florida and my mom this morning, it's 45 degrees and she's like freaking out, bringing out the parkas, the Uggs, you know? I mean, cold in her defense, but I get it.
I know. My sister showed me pictures yesterday of her grandchildren and they live down in Florida and they've got hats with, you know, the ear things that come down and everything.
That's of
just
course.
Freezing cold.
That's so funny.
But anyway, so we came here in 85 and he was just with the big league team for 1 year and then, you know, went back to the minor leagues. So, you know, every year, what I would do would be just wait till we figured out where they were going. And then try to find an apartment or somewhere to live once, you know, we would get there. Once we had kids and we had them in school, it just so happened we were in Gwinnett County and their spring break was always the first week of the season, the first week of the minor league season. So on Friday, when spring break started, I would go to whatever city he was going to be in and look for and set up an apartment. I had a Chevy Astro van and I had it set up. I knew exactly what size boxes fit in there. And those boxes were also, once you emptied them, you put a sheet over them and those were your end tables, you know. It was just
your temporary table.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. So I would go up on Friday and we would set up, the kids and I would set up, and they would usually break camp on Sunday. And then we would spend that first week of the season with them. And then from then till the end of the school year, it was like a 6 or 7 week long time, you know.
Kind of putting everything on you, really. I mean, and not intentionally, it's just the way that it goes.
Yeah, that was just our life. Yeah. So, and of course, then I'd have to deal with it too. When he left for spring training, I'd take them down there once. Of course, we were in West Palm Beach. So I'd stick two kids in the car and drive to West Palm Beach.
That's not a close drive. It's
I'd usually get in the car at like 8 o'clock at night so that the kids would sleep overnight, you know, to drive. So, but anyway, so that period of time from spring training to the first week of, to from being in spring training till their spring break wasn't so long, but then from spring break to the end. But we would leave here the day school ended and we'd come back at like midnight the night before it started again.
Oh my gosh. So were you still working this whole time too?
When we first got married, I had, right before I had kids, I got my master's degree and I went to work at Shepherd Spinal Center because I got a minor in research.
Awesome.
And I was doing research at Shepherd Spinal Center. So that a lot of it I could do from home. I worked from home before working at home. As a matter of fact, I had a modem in our house before the internet, you know.
Wow.
That's what I said. I used to be the techie person, but not anymore. Then when the kids were little, I went back to the school system because then I was on the same schedule as them, you know. And I worked up until they were in high school. We'd have the summers off. We'd just go wherever he went. And
would be at the time.
Yeah. And that was such a cool experience for my children because when you go into a minor league city, I don't know if you've ever experienced it at all, but
yeah,
there's like a a group of people that go to those games all the time. That's their life. That's what they do in the summer. They have nothing else to do. Some of them were, you know, small towns where there wasn't really much to do. And so there would be a group of people, and those people became your family. You know, and we would try to kind of assimilate in. I'd get the kids into the library and the reading groups at the library and, you know, just the stuff around town. And then we got to go on the road with him. Of course, I'd have to drive behind the bus, but like we would go to Huntsville.
Wait, they wouldn't let you on the bus?
No. they would let my son go on the bus with his dad. That was, you know. That was kind of crazy. He's been raised in a dugout. That's where he's been hilarious. Raised.
And I mean, Troy, right? Are you talking about Troy?
Yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. he's still in a dugout. Yeah, exactly.
He's still in a dugout. Yeah, that's what he does. That would be our summer vacations, is we'd go to Huntsville and go to the Space Museum, or, you know, go to Chattanooga and go to the aquarium, you know, wherever he was, you know, whatever town he was in, we'd kind of follow along behind. So it was crazy, you know, it was crazy, but it was, you know, you were always, you know, doing stuff.
Never a dull moment. You know, that's what I say. It's just like, it's hard for me to explain the coach's wife or manager's wife life to somebody else, except for that it's crazy without a dull moment.
Yeah, it really is. It really is crazy. And it, you know, like I said, every year is a little bit different.
You brought up, I didn't want to bring it up, but you brought it up. The fact that Brian has always been on these really small contracts. I mean, it is constantly like a 1-year deal or now a 2-year deal. What is that like for your family? Because all of a sudden, you know, you're hoping at some point you get something extended so that you have some guarantee, but
right.
You're constantly like, all right, am I going to keep these end tables with the sheet out over?
I think that now, you know, or when he was in the big leagues, but not the manager, it was more trying to keep everybody else calm about it. You know, because it used to be that it would start like in August, people would say, you know, we don't have a contract. We wonder if we're going to be here the next year. We wonder if we're going to get cut, you know, that kind of stuff. And it would just be like, look, you know, you know, just trying to keep them calm about, you know, things will work out, you know. But then that kind of hit us in the face when we got back from LA. I don't know what year that was. And, you know, we had just lost in the playoffs and it was really sad. And we got home and, you know, they said, we're going to tweak the coaching staff a little bit. And
your heart sinks every time, like, I'm sure.
We weren't sure what that meant. But, you know, Brian was, you know, always his same loyal and dedicated self, did his work, you know, seemed to be well liked and accepted and, you know, was a strong person in the group. And so the day after the season, like he always does, he went to the ballpark to, you know, wrap things up and all of that. And he said, he came back, he said there wasn't really anybody there, you know, not too many people were there. And so the next day I think I went to the dentist and he was just going to stay home. And then he called me, he said, they've called me in, they want me to come to the ballpark. And so he went to the ballpark and he called me on the way home and said, I was the tweak. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, they, you know, I'm not on. He just walked in. Say hi, Brian.
Who we with?
Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Nice
good
to see you.
Good to see you. How's it going?
Everything's good.
I haven't seen you since Texas.
Oh, I know, right? Yeah, I'm doing good. Everybody's good.
Good.
You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good, you know, just good. In my kitchen.
Well, that's all right. That's, we're all learning to do that.
You know, really quickly, because I want to keep talking to your wife. I remember a couple different press conferences, you kept saying how much you like watching Yellowstone.
Yes.
Now my fiance won't get off the show. He loves the show and he wants me to watch it.
Oh no. My son came home from when we're all done. And he's like, he's up there binge watching season 3 right now. Cause I told him, I was like, you got plenty of time. Cause this thing ain't going to come out again till next fall. I mean, next spring or summer or whatever. So now I'm waiting for the, I got onto the Vikings too.
What's that on?
Vikings. It was a show on History Channel.
Okay. Is it
telling when he's done with Yellowstone to go to watch Vikings? He'll like that one too.
Listen, you guys would be best friends. That's like his genre. History Channel, Discovery Channel, those channels, he's all into that. So no, I got you.
Well, good. Well, it's good to see you. I'll leave
good
you
to see
alone.
You too. Thanks. Bye. Okay. He just ruined your story. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but that was, you know, so that then, you know, it was like, what do you do? What do we do now? The go and look, you know, offers from other teams or, but we were, you know, here and everything was good and he couldn't imagine being anything but a Brave.
I mean, that's how it's been for forever, which is so great. And it's great for you guys because the continuity is so rare, especially in this business, you know, to be with a team as long as he has. Did you go to every, I mean, I know the obvious answer to this, whenever you were working and when the kids were in school, you couldn't go to every game, but did you try to make it to most of them?
Well, when we were in the minor leagues, that was our day to day, you know, like you went to the ball game and they had their friends at the ballpark and, you know, adults that they interacted with and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they participated in everything. Troy was in the dugout from, I think he was 5 or 6. He would be down on the field with his dad and, you know, at the ballpark during the day, even when, you know, Aaron and I were, you know, out and about at home. So yeah, we were pretty much there every night. Maybe that was a little bit of a change. I don't think we went as much when we were in Atlanta because it was like 45 minutes to the ballpark, you know,
sure. So,
but we did a lot.
And the kids, did they like it? Did they love it? Was it always, you know, they did?
It's their way of life. You know, it's what they did. You know, our daughter would sing, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." They put, you know, in the minor league cities, they'd put her up on a chair in front and give her a microphone and she'd sing, you know. And Troy used to, with the Durham Bulls, you know, the bull used to go out and do the YMCA and Troy would be out there doing it with him and doing flips. And
I love the minor leagues. It's the best.
I know. And I was telling Brian this week, I worry that it's never going to be like that again in the minor leagues. That's sad to me.
I know. You know? This year,
I'm so glad we were able to experience that. You know, people are like, "Oh, you were in the minor leagues for so long. That must've been terrible." And I'm like, no, it really went. I'm so glad we got to experience that, you know. But I don't think that's going to be like that much anymore.
I know. I hope that they make it out okay. But man, this pandemic has been really tough on the minor leagues for sure.
Right. In addition to already being the changes being made in the minor leagues and then the pandemic has been awful. So.
Now, have you, I know that you weren't necessarily interested in the beginning because Brian was a baseball player, but now it is your life. Were you always like into baseball or were you just kind of like, this is my life?
Well, so I told you I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And in Pittsburgh, you know, they're really big into their sports teams.
For sure.
And I'm one of 9 children.
Wow.
And our grandmother lived with us. She had been run over by a car. So she was an invalid and she was in a wheelchair.
Oh my gosh.
So after dinner at night, we had a teeny tiny house. And so, you know, the kids are all over the place and my mom's trying to finish dinner and stuff or, you know, clean up after dinner. And so I always said, if you were causing trouble or messing around inside the house, my dad would say, just go to bed. You know, y'all just go on to bed, you're too crazy. But they would put my grandmother out on the front porch with her in her wheelchair and they'd turn on the little yellow light so bugs wouldn't get her, you know, and they'd give her a transistor radio and she listened to the Pirate games. She loved the Pirates. And so if I went out on the porch, then my dad wouldn't see me and send me to bed. So I hung outside on the porch with my grandmother and listened to the Pirate games. So yeah, I was, you know, a baseball fan, I wouldn't say that I was as crazy as most people are or were at the time, you know, about the Pirates. But yeah, I always listened to baseball and knew about baseball, you know. And maybe that was kind of the thing I was thinking, oh, I don't want to go out with this guy who's going to have a girl in every city or whatever, yeah. You know, whatever my idea was of what it was going to be like, you right. know. So.
Well, you were pleasantly surprised by Brian.
But it wasn't like that. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like that.
How did he win you over?
Oh, you know what it was? So I was in Bradenton, Florida, and I was living in this little trailer.
Yeah.
And every time it would rain, those big giant palmetto bugs, you know,
they're
those
disgusting.
Cockroaches.
They're so gross. It's like
they would come in.
Oh gosh, I can't talk about this. Continue.
They would come in and I was like, oh, I don't want to step on it and hear crunch. And so I would put a jar upside down on them and put books on them. And then when he would call and ask me if I wanted to go out, I'd say, well, yeah, sure. You can come up. You know, he's, after a while, he was like, is it like, I get the okay whenever you have a bug underneath.
Yep. That is exactly why you're allowed to come in.
Yeah. So he won me over by coming up and killing the palmetto bugs that came in when it rained.
What a story. I love that. So funny.
Here's your drinks. Have a supersonic day.
Nick, in the morning, you don't even speak full words, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Nick, and you're just like, oh.
I don't look forward to any other drink like I do my morning drink.
Sonic's Morning Drink Stop. Large drinks for 99 cents and large specialty drinks for $1.49 before 10 a.m. For contactless ordering and payment, order ahead in the Sonic app. Tax not included. See menu for details for a limited time only at participating Sonic drive-ins. Mobile ordering available only at select locations.
Now he's baseball's manager of the year in the National League. Was that really cool for you to see happen for him?
You mean a couple years ago or this time?
This time.
A couple years ago, when, what was that one? That was the baseball writers.
Yep.
And it was kind of like we were in shock about that. I feel like Brian endears himself to them because he's truthful and he backs his players, you know. And that's what I read last week on some of the comments from people where Baseball America had interviewed some of the players and some people is, you know, they said he runs the Braves like it's his family. And, you know, he always has their back, even if they do something wrong. And I think because he was 26 years old, managing a team of kids who were almost his age, he had to be like a dad early. And, you know, they were like our family. You lived with them for 5 or 6 months, whatever it was. And it is like your family. And, you know, I would take the wives and try to keep them, you know, think about that. There's 25 women or, you know, in the minor leagues, it wasn't that many. A lot of them had girlfriends, not so much. They were married or had families until we got to AAA. But, you know, I would, you know, try to help them or you bring 25 women together from all walks of life who've been raised all differently. And you try to put them in one place together and they're supporting their husband individually. And it can be kind of crazy, you know? And so we had to do parenting type things all along with players and stuff, you know? And so, you know, when I read that last week that I think it might've been Dansby said, you know, he supports you even if you've messed up. But that doesn't mean he doesn't bring you in face to face and let you know what's acceptable and what isn't, you know?
So. Yeah, and I think probably all of his experiences in the minor leagues too exponentially helps when it comes to these guys that move up and down so much because you know how the major leagues are, you know, 1 minute you're up, 1 minute you're down. And I think that him having all of the experience, he knows all walks of life in baseball now.
Yeah, like he'll tell people, I've been recycled 3 times.
recycled. You know? I like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, you know, in that he's experienced a lot of things with, you know, with his players and, you know, their births of their children, deaths of their parents, you know, all of that kind of stuff that people don't think about, you know, in baseball, that you have to deal with those things, you know, but, and oftentimes we were all drug into it. Can you help with this? Or can you get the wife here or there? Or, you know, one time in Durham, you know, I get a call, one of the wives is in labor and she has no way to get to the hospital. So I take her to the hospital and I call him. This is before cell phones. And I call the ballpark and I get him and I like, you got to get him home, get him back to Durham.
Gosh.
And so I'm in the delivery room with the wife and, you know, she's young and she's scared and she doesn't have her mom there. And, you know, she doesn't have her husband there. And
were you a mom yet?
And no, I wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so he got him home and, you know, the doctor was a friend. It was the team OBGYN and he was a friend. And so, you know, he was like, you know, just come in with us, you know, till he gets here. Well, the guy got there and he came in and I left and went home and laid down in the bed. And I said, I can't leave him there. He looked like a deer in the headlights. I can't leave him there. And a couple minutes later, they called me. And they said, we think we need you to come back.
Oh my gosh, so you went back?
I went back. Mm-hmm. And I stood with the doctor while he did the C-section.
Oh my gosh.
The poor dad was beside himself. He, you know, he's on the baseball field 1 minute and then he's on I think he came home on a bus, came back on a bus, if I remember properly.
Probably my.
But yeah, so I was there in the delivery of that child, you know, and I had, you know, had never seen anything like that before, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. You know, I was like, oh, if you're watching this, like, how can people not believe in God watching something like that happen? You know, so it was, I was, you know, so those kinds of things, you know, and that's what you did, you know, it's just, you know,
anything and everything is what you do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, too, like, do you know off the top of your head how many times you've moved?
No, but here's one thing is that we always kept our house. When we moved here, mm-hmm. we moved into an apartment in Stone Mountain. And then right when our daughter was born, she's 30, she's going to be 34. So right when I was pregnant with her, we moved into our first home. And we had that home for 5 years, and then we moved into another home that we had for 25 years,
wow.
or 27 years. So we always had that as a home base. So that was much different than a lot of people, because people change teams, you know, and had to move and went to different places. I just had to move for 6 months, you know, or actually I would just be in that apartment for 3 months, you know, for over the summer.
That's,
you know,
nice wherever. To have a home base though, for sure. Because, you know, like Levi and I have moved in TV too. It's crazy. So like we've moved since we met 4 years ago, we've moved 6 times in 4 years between like him going to one job and then the next, and then me going to one job and then the next, then me moving. I mean, it's just been nuts. 6 times in 4 years. And so I'm just like, there's
you have two places now.
Yeah, we do. And because he's not, they're division two. And so they didn't play this year. It's actually been a blessing for us because he's here every weekend. He just drives up to Atlanta and he's here every weekend, which is great. Other than that, our eyes are just crossed all the time and we just try to figure it out. I could literally talk to you all day, but I'm not going to do that. one thing I really want to talk about is obviously this year is so crazy for everybody, but for you guys specifically, you went through spring training and then everything got pulled in the middle of spring training and things are crazy. What was that time like in between when spring training ended to when you figured out you guys were going to be playing baseball again?
It was crazy. It really was crazy. You know, it was a new place to be, you know, I mean, Northport.
Yeah.
And they had gotten us a place. We didn't see it before we went there, anything. Ended up being right on the beach and it was incredible. And it was like you know, just unbelievable. And I had people, you know, our normal people come down, you know, the kids came down for 10 days. I have girlfriends from Pittsburgh who come down. And so all of that, you know, I told my daughter was pregnant. I told her whenever my group of girlfriends leaves, then anytime after that, when you need me, I'll come home. Meaning, you know, Brian will still stay there and do the rest of spring training, but I'll come home. Well, it was right after the girls left when they said, you know, we're done, you know, everybody's done. Wow. And everybody left, but we were like, well, we have this place, really, it was rented till April 4th, and it was incredible. And so we were like, well, we'll just stay here and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, it was so up in the air. It was like, are we really, we'll be back playing in a couple weeks, or, you know, we're going to be playing by the end of April, you know, and it just kept like that. But anyway, so I told Aaron, I said, listen, if you're okay, we're going to stay for a little while. So it was okay for a couple weeks until she started having trouble getting food, you know, and getting toilet paper and all the, you know, the stuff she was and having trouble.
Still pregnant at that point.
She was pregnant, had these twin boys that are now not in school, you know, so she was homeschooling. She was doing really well. And so we stayed until she was having trouble getting food. So we loaded up the car with fresh fish and everything that we bought down there and headed home. And we came home and it was like, this is so weird. Like, what do we do now? But pretty quickly they started to try to interpret what was coming from the CDC and, you know, World Health and all the guidelines they were getting, you know, to MLB.
Right.
And right away, Brian started to do the Zoom calls, and there would be, you know, most of the day he would spend, you know, going through how is that, whatever they're telling you now, how is that going to relate to baseball? Alex and Brian and several of the people really, you know, worked hard on making this whole thing happen. But the one really good thing was that the baby was born April 10th, and they weren't going to be here. Neither Troy nor Brian were going to be here for the baby, you know, for the baby's birth. So we were able to be here for the baby's birth. You know, he was able to be here. And what we did was when she went to go to the hospital, she dropped the twins here. So we had the twins for a week, and she was at the hospital, had the baby, and then was able to go home and adjust to the new baby without the craziness of all of us involved, you know. And we were doing the quarantining from each other and, you know, and being really careful with all of that. We were able to introduce the boys one by one to the baby. And aww. We were the, you know, one was with us and one was with them. And so it just offered us a lot of family time that
you would have never gotten.
No. You know, so when you look, and, you know, people will look at what happened, you know, what came good from this pandemic. And, you know, often people say, you know, gosh, I've been in the house with my family forever. You know?
Sure.
But it really offered us something that we hadn't had. You know, Brian had never been in this house in April and May, you know, like May, April, May, and June. He was like, oh, is that how you do those flowers? And we ate meals together, which isn't a common thing. You know, we were able to eat meals together. But I was amazed at, you know, how much went into getting things set up to be able to start that season. You know?
I just remember constantly thinking, how the heck is this going to happen? Like, how is this going to work? So I'm sure for you guys who were directly in it, and, you know, Brian's going to work every day, he's around the players every day. Were you guys nervous in the beginning?
We were probably more afraid of infecting him, you know, being so clean here, because he was going to be going in there around, you know, everybody. And when we first had that first outbreak, you know, or that first little scare with Miami, it was kind of like, oh, this isn't going to work. I'd say oh, instead of ordering groceries, I'm going to go to the grocery store. And then I'd be like, no, no, I don't want to be the one on the news saying he brought down baseball.
It was all because of you, because he went to Publix.
Like, I just worried about that.
It worked out. I mean, to a degree, it worked out, and baseball was able to manage, and another great run by the Braves, which I know was really fun for you to be there. Wow. Too. And Texas was a blast, huh?
We were just here all the time until I flew to Arlington. And then, you know, we got to Arlington and our seats were out by the foul pole in left field. We could see the other wives down there, you know, in front. And everybody said one night, oh, Ronnie, we saw Brian waving to you. You got to see him. And I said to Brian, so you saw where I was sitting? And he goes, no. He said, I was just waving up there hoping that.
Oh, my gosh. waving around.
So we never saw each other the whole time we were in Arlington.
That's hilarious. That's actually really funny, because you know how many times you see Freddie wave to Chelsea.
Yeah.
You can actually see them.
Right. Would walk up to the fence, you know. Him walk up to the fence and a couple of the other guys walk up to the fence. But we were way up you know, we were down by the foul pole.
At least he didn't lie to you. At least he was like, actually, I had no idea where you were. I was just kind of waving around and hoping.
Waving around.
Gosh, that's so funny. When I say game 7, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Jeez, I don't even know. It was disappointing. But at the same time, every game was like, holy crap, you know, like we're one game from the World Series, you know, and we're not supposed to be here, you know. Yeah. And so every game was just like, you know, we're not supposed to be here, but wow, we are, you know. So, yeah, it was kind of, you know, it's hard even to remember now because as so much happened, you know, so fast. But I think it was just like, we can't believe we're even here. You know, look where we are. And you know, we've had all this adversity and still the guys are playing their hearts out, you know. I think that's probably Troy coming now that you're here.
Everybody so go on into the podcast.
He may be barging right in.
We have the whole family here. Yeah. You know, obviously it was difficult, but the Braves clearly have something really fun going. This is a great team. There's a lot of youth, but there's some really good veterans now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you love how exciting this team is right now?
Yes. And, you know, it's just like keeps getting better, you know, like I think Alex is working really hard to move it forward. And here's Troy. Say hi, Troy.
Hello.
Hi. Can't see you, but hello.
This is Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, your mom's on a podcast.
I'm on a podcast?
Yeah, she's on a podcast right now.
Oh, nice. So I'm on the podcast?
Yeah, come say hello.
Yeah, you don't have to be. I'm just saying, hey, I'm recording it, but I'll cut some stuff up. So, hey.
Okay. Any questions for me?
Any questions for him? I was just telling.
Was your mom a good baseball wife? A traveling.
My mom is the baseball wife.
That seriously, that's what I told her. I said because your dad
write a book.
I could talk to her for literally days, but I told her, I said, you know, Brian is a baseball lifer. No, I'm glad. No, she said you guys loved your childhood. Did you?
Loved it. We would pack up the van. She would have it packed our last day of school, pick us up from school, and we were out. And we literally pulled into the house
the night
9 o'clock the night before the first day of school every year.
Didn't you love that?
We took a shower in a beach public.
Like the, you know, like it, when just, you come off the beach, yes. And there's like a shower right there. Yeah.
We showered in those before getting in the van come home the day before school started.
I am obsessed with this. Why wasn't this my life? It's like the van life. I like this.
It was crazy. And then oftentimes people talk about, yeah, I should write a book. And I have enough from opening day opening day stories. I have opening day stories that people can't hardly believe, you know.
Okay,
just
tell me one.
crazy
you can't just bring that up and then be like, yeah, what a great story, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm gonna save them for my book. Just give me one.
It was crazy. You know, just being dragging kids in, you know, that I'd get there and it would be like, okay, I'm the manager's wife. You know, I need to park.
Did you tell them about Myrtle Beach?
Which one?
When we opened it?
Oh, God, that was crazy. Okay. I'll tell you that one. That's okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Wait. What about the parking? I need to hear about the parking. Oh, well, we're going to go back to Myrtle Beach.
I would come in and, you know, you'd pull up to the wherever, you know, they were, you know, parking you know, like where the guy was collecting the money or whatever, and I'd say,
wait, you didn't have your own spot? What is this?
Well, no, I'd come in and I'd say, I'm the manager's wife, or I'm Brian Snitker's wife, and they'd say, who's Brian Snitker?
Stop it.
And I'd be like, oh, you know, like, I'd be in the line of a million people, and you know, I've got two kids, and I've got them dressed in their little baseball outfits. You know, you have to park on the back thing. You know, he'd come out and he'd say, "Where?" And I say, "Oh, I need somebody to walk me out because I'm at the very end. You know, at the back of the parking lot." And he'd be like, "What?" You know, but he would have so much stuff to get ready. You know, that he
didn't want to bother him.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's really weird about Brian and the Braves is that we opened almost every one of this. The only ballpark we didn't open, like, you know, they opened new minor league ballparks. The only one we didn't open was Rome.
Wow.
We, you know, so what he was talking about in Myrtle Beach. So, like I said, we would go on Friday. And we would get the apartment, and I'd get everything set up in the apartment. Well, we get to Myrtle Beach, and they don't have, it's not ready. I mean, the stadium was just being built, and it was not ready. It was definitely not ready. There was no carpet in the clubhouse. The lockers weren't set up. Brian's office wasn't set up. They had a store. You know, the clubhouse store that was this beautiful store, it had nothing set up in it. And so we stayed up, we got there, we stayed up all night, my kids too. They said, do you know how Brian wants his office set up? And I was like, no. Do you know how he wants the clubhouse set up? And I said, no. But I said, but Troy, he was like 6 or 7. Yeah.
Oh,
I said,
gosh.
No, let's see. No, he might have been older than that, maybe 9. He knows. So Troy goes in and he works overnight getting the clubhouse set up, getting all the stuff where it's supposed to be. They put Erin in the store. She was tagging the clothes, hanging the clothes on the hangers, putting them up. And I was kind of going between doing all this stuff. We spent all night doing it. The next day when they're coming in, the team's coming in.
Oh my God.
Troy and I are in the clubhouse. They just laid the carpet and we're vacuuming the carpet to get, you know, and finally they come in and they say, Ronnie, you got to go out because the guys are coming in. And I'm like, oh my God, it's not ready. So, and then
so crazy.
The day before the game, it was maybe an hour before the game started. We realized we have no trash cans.
Oh my gosh.
No trash cans for the stadium. Yeah. So I have to go to Sam's Club and buy trash cans.
Are you kidding?
It was.
Did you volunteer?
Oh, we just went in and it was just what we did, you know, like get everything ready for baseball to start, you know? And so we just,
and how many people in Myrtle Beach knew that you put out those trash cans? Probably 0.
I don't know. The people who were working there, and yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they were slacking. It was, you know, they were running out of time.
Yeah.
You know, they just ran out of time. They didn't have enough people to do what they had to do. And so there we were all night long putting all this stuff together. It was the craziest thing. And then Brian comes in and he's like, oh, wow, this is
looks
really
great,
nice.
Guys.
We're like, you have no idea what we just went through.
I'm curious. I just have a couple more questions and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
you know, one of the things that I think is interesting and that differs from every coach's wife or manager's wife, in your case, is that everyone is different after wins and losses, right? You know, everybody has a different vibe, a different personality.
Right.
I feel like maybe, and I could be wrong, but Brian seems like he's pretty even keel a lot of the times. Yeah. Is that kind of how he is at the highs and the lows?
Yeah, doesn't really bring it home. Never has.
So I'll tell you why he doesn't bring it home.
Okay, tell me.
Because he talks to himself on the way home.
On the way home.
So I would...
Here's Troy. Oh, you already said me.
Hello.
What's up?
So I would ride with him our whole lot, or my whole
Your
life.
Your whole life.
On the way home.
Yeah.
And are you talking to me or not? And he's talking to himself.
He talks to himself. He goes through everything himself.
So yeah. By the time he gets home, he's already...
He's talked it out. He's good to go. So yeah. Even if it's like, you know, the worst situation ever, he just talks to himself about it. And he's like, all right, yeah. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Sometimes he talks to a couple friends on the way home. You know, if I see that he's pulled up in the driveway, but he's not coming in, I know he's talking to somebody on the phone. And then he comes in, and it's pretty much when he comes in now. He comes in, he's got the plate of food. He stands at the counter and eats, and then he's done. I mean, he just right to bed.
Leaves
and
it.
The second he hits the pillow, he's done. But then he'll wake up later or say he was up later, you know, worrying about something or thinking about something or getting ready to talk to somebody, talking to himself.
So I used to make fun of him for doing it.
Did you?
And then my first day of coaching.
You did it.
I was on the way home. And I started talking to myself, and I called him. I said, sorry.
I love that. But see, don't you feel better now? You had yourself to talk to on the way home.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah, I love that. It's so hard to kind of sum up what it's like to be a manager's wife, I'm sure, right? But what do you feel like is your favorite part of this life that you live, this crazy life that you live? What's your favorite part?
Well, the very best part is that we can do it as a family. That's, you know, it's like, who can go to their husband's job with them, you know, and be a part, and feel like you're part of, you know, the people talk about the Braves family, you know, and the Braves way and those kinds of things. And it really is all about family, that we get to do everything as a family. And it's, you know, it's just our way of life.
Are you guys going to win a World Series?
You know, I've been going through the downstairs. Had all this stuff for 40 years was every year at the end of the season, we would, you know, you'd have a box of the stuff from the season and we'd put it in the attic and we put it in the attic and we put it in the attic. So the attic was full. I don't even know how the attic even stood up. So when we moved, it went into storage for 4 or 5 years or 4 years by the time we got over here. And then it was downstairs. And we got this part of the house together, but all of that was just down there. So in the pandemic, that's what I started to do. So I've gone through just about every box down there. And seriously, it's like a museum.
Wow.
Because we have stuff for 45 years and, you know, old baseball stuff you wouldn't even believe. I mean, I have his high school baseball uniform. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Oh, I love
stuff.
That.
And so I'm in the process of getting those things put up and ready. Well, one of the things I come across, and I wish I could put my hand on it right now, but it's a bumper sticker. It's from way, way back. And it says, wait until this year. Wait until this year, like, you know, this is going to be the year.
Yeah.
So I brought it up the other day. I was going to try to put it onto a piece of wood or something to hang it on that Christmas tree. Wait till this year, you know,
that you found it, this is the year.
This is the year. Yeah.
Listen, Ronnie.
Wouldn't that be so incredible?
If the Braves win the World Series, I am going to call your cell phone and I'm going to say, you need to mount that bumper sticker in a museum, Braves Museum.
Wait till this year. Wait till this year.
Oh, gosh. That gives me a good feeling now.
I know. It's going to be this year, huh? It would be great. It would be so, so crazy. That would just be, but as far as we've come and the changes really, you know, in the last couple weeks and the addition and knowing that those guys, what they did when we weren't 100%, we could do when we're 100%, you know.
This is a fun team that you guys have going. It's a special team, and thanks to the bumper sticker, the Braves could win a World Series.
Wait till this year. Has the old, like, little emblem on it. Wait till this year, though. You know?
I love that. Yeah. Well, Ronnie, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I took so much of it, but I could honestly talk to you for days because you have over four decades of experience in baseball. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay, seriously, I lost complete and total control of that interview, but of course, in the best possible way. We talked for almost 2 hours, and then we even texted a little bit afterwards. So, of course, we had to condense this podcast, but really, you know, I could just keep talking to her all day. Great people producing great baseball, and seriously, it gives me the chills to think that Ronnie Snicker could be the reason that the Braves potentially win a World Series. All right, next up, because, you know, I always reveal the next guest on this show, Joni Crean, her husband, Tom Crean, well-known in the basketball world and currently the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs basketball team. You talk about somebody with no filter and a bare-all conversation, that would be Joni. Excited for you guys to hear that one. I know you can't wait, but you're going to have to. Right now, we are just going to have to put that on pause until we release episode 3. For now, thanks for listening. Have a happy holiday season. And this is Married to the Game.